Somebody will sign it. Somebody. 32 days from now. All right.
Mr. Commissioner, one.
I'm sorry.
I'd just like to add that aquaculture in the shellfish industry is the future. It's been a kind of a pet interest of mine, and I think it can go far beyond just the seafood packing companies and growers that are there present in it. I think it can be something that can be expanded bay-wide on all the shores. This process will help the native oyster by cleaning the bay and help the environment in general. So the promotion of aquaculture, I think, is paramount.
Thank you. I agree. Dr. Kirkley, I was wondering if I could take the next two. Would you mind if I took you after those? Or do you need to get... You need to leave. Thank you, Jim. All right, Jack, let's take the Bonnie Lee Jones request. Mr. Ernest George found that.
I was hoping that we could strike this item from the agenda, but apparently that's not the case. I know that Mr. George and Mrs. Jones had been in some lengthy discussions over the last couple of months looking at a means of resolving the concerns that the residents at the Beach Cove Villa at Windmill Point have with regard to Mr. George's pound net. But that's apparently not the case. And so the item is back on your agenda. It comes to us as a result of a letter from Mrs. Jones that was provided to you some time ago. And it centers on Mrs. Jones and others who reside at the Beach Cove Villas expressing concern about the pound net that is owned by Mr. George that's located just off of their property. And you'll recall this was an issue last year that resulted in your agreement that the net could be licensed in that location with certain special conditions, and that is that the leader of the net be at least 100 feet from the shore and that there be a passageway for canoes and kayaks and structures of that type some 60 feet wide. And apparently there was a point in time in 2005 where Mr. George failed to meet those special conditions and was approached by one of our Marine police officers, and the net was corrected so that it did comply with the special conditions as far as we know, based on the report of the officer, and has been in compliance based on law enforcement's review since that initial meeting. Mrs. Jones may have some other thoughts on that issue. But that's the debate, whether or not Mr. George should be licensed for 2006 or whether the two groups could continue to debate another solution to the problem will remain to be seen. But I would assume at this point you could call on Mrs. Jones and have her detail her concerns to you. Mr. George is here. He can respond to those concerns.
All right. That's the way we'll do it then. All right. Mrs. Jones? This is a case issue. I'm going to put this on the road. Ms. Jones, would you raise your right hand, please? You swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you.
Commissioner Pruitt and other members of the commission, good afternoon. It's nice to see you again. I'm sorry I can't really express to you how strongly enough how disappointed I am that I have to be here in front of you again. However, We are here to discuss the pound net license to Ernest L. George, which is located at the shoreline in front of my home. This has continued to be a problem, not just for the residents of Beach Cove Villas and Winmo Point, but it continues to be a problem because of Mr. George's disregard for the conditions imposed on him by the VMRC to be licensed for the 2005 season. And it's because of those violations that I am here today. It is my belief that the laws of the Commonwealth and the regulations set out by the VMRC are meant to be heeded and obeyed. And if someone continually disregards or violates those regulations, there should be consequences. In this case, I ask that you consider the pattern of violation for the conditions of his license, which Mr. George has displayed throughout the 2005 season, and I ask that his license to operate a pound net at its current location be denied for 2006. I put together a short timeline of the problems that we've had concerning the pound net since it was first set in the spring of 2004, as well as some photographs, my amateur photography here, to illustrate Mr. George's noncompliance with the conditions of his license throughout the past season. Mr. George's net raised immediate concerns with my neighbors and me as soon as it appeared in the spring of 2004, and we brought these concerns to the VMRC. After much discussion and several hearings, the VMRC made a decision that tried to reach a compromise. Mr. George was given a renewal of his license, but only under four very specific and distinct conditions, and I have those listed in the information. They concerned the location of a passageway for small craft, the maintenance of a lower level for the net within that passageway, flagging the ends, and no restriction of other activities around the net within 125 feet. So this decision, we thought, and I'm sure it was made in the spirit of a good faith attempt on the part of the commission to find a solution that allowed Mr. George to keep his net at the current location, but also to provide for those of us who are living in close proximity to the net some assurance that our use and enjoyment of the water for fishing and swimming would not be restricted. And small boats, we have a lot of children and grandchildren at this location, small boats such as canoes and kayaks and jet skis and other small craft could negotiate that shoreline without having to go far out into the main channel. I've heard it said that judicial rulings are really the mark of a good decision is one where everyone on all sides leaves a little frustrated, so I guess the decision last fall was made that grade. However, we all left a little disappointed, and I'm sure Mr. George included, but the conditions of the license were crystal clear. Everybody knew exactly what was expected. When the net appeared in the spring 2005 right in front of my house, it was hard to miss that Mr. George had not set it in compliance with the conditions of his license. I see that net up and personal every time I look outside, and I'm right next to it when I swim or walk the shore, so I really can't help but see. And what I saw was that the passageway was set in the wrong place and the wrong width, and additionally the net within the passageway was set incorrectly, and that's what that first page of photos will show you. By June, the net hadn't changed. I wrote to Mr. Travelstead outlining my concern that Mr. George was in violation, and Mr. Travelstead notified the Law Enforcement Division, who in turn notified Mr. George. Colonel Bowman's letter stated very, very specifically, it's a quote, "We have in our possession pictures that clearly show the net visible within the passageway. You are hereby provided 5 days to bring this fixed fishing structure into compliance with the order of the Marine Resources Commission. If you fail to adhere to the conditions placed upon this structure, I will have no choice than to request that the commission revoke the license for this stand," unquote. Mr. George then went out and made some changes. And on July 4th, the Marine Patrol made a site inspection. Unfortunately, Mr. George was still not in compliance with the conditions of his license. The passageway was only half as wide as it should have been at that point. He was given another opportunity to fix it, even though, I'm sorry to say, it took the Marine Patrol officers in boats for about a half a day right next to the net, watching while it was brought into compliance, and that finally was done. In my view, this is an incredible waste of Marine Patrol time and money, but that's what it took. the net was finally the way it should have been from the start, and that's what the second page of pictures shows you. I wish I could say that was the end of it. I really could hardly believe my eyes about a month later when I walked outside to the beach and realized that the net on one side inside the passageway had been raised. And then a few weeks later, the other side mysteriously rose as well. So the net at that point then was, again, not in compliance with the conditions of the license. This was only able to be seen at low tide, since the condition required that the net be 2 feet below mean low. It was easily seen at low tide, and the net was clearly there. The third and fourth pages of pictures shows you that. My guess is that the net's depth through the passageway might have had an effect on Mr. George's catch, and as the fall fishing season got underway, Mr. George may have decided that he didn't want to keep it low as mandated, and so he raised it. I don't know. I've never asked him, but it made sense to me. But that's really not the issue. The VMRC placed conditions on his license. If those conditions were problematic to him, he could have sought remedy through the VMRC, but he shouldn't be allowed to arbitrarily comply whenever he feels like it and disregard the conditions when it suits. At that point, I debated with myself about contacting Mr. Travelstead again. I thought at some point he simply would not answer my phone calls, and to his credit, that has never been the case. Thank you very much. But I did struggle with questions such as, after all, the net was kind of in compliance, and it was right for about a month, for about the month of July it was right. And honestly, what difference does it really make? We're talking about inches here. What is the point? Should I take up the commission's time? I mean, you're dealing with big issues. Should I take up the commission's time again with something that some may view as petty? Obviously, I'm standing here before you today, and so I thought I should. But there were two reasons why I thought I should, and I think they're important, and I wanted to tell you why I'm here again. The first reason has to do actually with me. I'm a recreational fisher person, some years more successful than others. But I have loved fishing these waters, my husband and I, for many, many years. When we catch a nice fish, but it happens to be even a fraction of an inch less than the mandated minimums, it goes back in the water. No questions asked. It's the right thing to do. We are bound by the regulations of our license, and those you're well familiar with. I mean, they're very clear. We have regulations that we must abide by. We are bound by those, and if that flounder is 16 and a quarter inches, it might look mighty good, but he's back in the water. Why? Because it is the right thing to do. We share the waters for the good of the species, the sport. Some things have limits. Some things have minimums. We need to respect and comply all the supporting regulation. And I got to thinking, if I'm going to have to measure to the inch what I'm doing with fishing, I think it's only fair that Mr. George have the responsibility to be as responsive to the regulations he's operating under. I send that fish back into the water, whether the Marine Patrol is looking over my shoulder or not, because it's the right thing to do. No game warden or Marine Patrol officer would give me a pass, I think, if they saw an undersized fish or too many rock or something like that in the boat. And they wouldn't let me have three tries to get it right either. I need to live and fish by the rules. I think it's appropriate that others do as well. The second reason why I contacted Mr. Travelstead was because I reread the letter from Colonel Bowman and his words about if the net was visible within the passageway and if Mr. George failed to adhere to the conditions, the Enforcement Division would have no choice but to request that the commission revoke his license. This is serious business. This is this man's living. I would not lightly ask this of the commission if we hadn't come to this point. Whether or not the net's location, which puts it in constant conflict with the homes and recreational activities around it, should be changed is a discussion that has many aspects. But this issue, that of disregard for the conditions placed upon the license, this is not complicated at all. Mr. George has continually violated his license throughout 2005. I just don't think he should be rewarded for that. So what now? There have been attempts, and I want you to know that they've all been made in good faith, to find a solution outside of the formal hearing process we're in right now. Of interest, windmill redevelopment, the constant construction zone, they seem to have the mechanics lien suits worked out, and there is pending approval for 200 more residences to be built very close to me over the next several months. The pound net issue, although we're talking about the 2005 season, just as a sidebar, this pound net issue is going to go quickly from bad to worse as this development continues, and I know it, and Mr. George knows it, and we're trying to work our way through it with that in the future. You might have noticed in the timeline for 2006 that Mr. and Mrs. George asked my husband and myself to get together and discuss possible solutions. Our conversations were frank and respectful. I have enjoyed my conversations with Mr. George. And although maybe we can do only agree to disagree, he has been friendly, and we have had many conversations in that vein. Mr. George is willing to move his net to another location to avoid further conflict with the existing community. He has a spot already picked out that has been verified by the VMRC to be available. Mr. Travel has been very helpful in every step of this process in guiding us as we tried to work out a solution. However, Mr. George did ask the condominium owners to help defray the cost of the bigger net and the new poles that would be needed for his deeper location, and the amount we have raised is unfortunately not acceptable to him. So, as we consider what to do at this point, I'd like to suggest three possible solutions for the VMRC to consider as they decide what to do about this license. First, if Mr. George were to move his net 100 yards, 200 yards or so, whatever is appropriate, off into the river, away from the shore, he would not have to maintain the passageway, which is clearly what has been very problematic for him. And those of us who have small children and are along the shoreline would not have to constantly be in conflict with this net. A second idea, Mr. George may wish to apply for a transfer of his 2006 Windmill Point license to a shallow spot near his selected new location. There are plenty of shallow stretches in there. We all are familiar with where this is further upriver, so that he can use his existing net and not incur the expense of setting a deeper net. Or the third option that might work, Mr. George could transfer his 2006 Windmill Point license to the deeper spot he had in mind with the added expense and labor for a new net and poles, unfortunately, but with the amount we have offered to help offset some of that cost. We may be offering good faith, and we certainly will honor it throughout the season. The one thing, in my view, that will not work is to leave the net where it is, even with the conditions attached. Mr. George is not inclined to comply with the conditions. I know they're difficult. They may seem petty, but they are specific. And residents like myself shouldn't be made to feel like constant policemen forced to monitor the net. This is just not a good fit. The net is too close to too much activity, and the conflicts will continue and continue because there's no reason why they should stop. If conditions and regulations imposed by the VMRC mean nothing, then we've started down a very dangerous road, in my view. I've learned a lot about pound nets and commercial fishing operations over the past few months. I've watched the physical labor needed to fish the net every day. It's a hard job. I've learned a little about what's needed to maintain nets and poles. I actually was surprised to learn that the VMRC has a contractual relationship with Mr. George for his net right at the shoreline by my house, and that he keeps fish separated for the VMRC in the corral of the net. and that the VMRC pays him for those fish. It was surprising because it appeared to me to be a conflict of interest, but I guess that relationship will continue no matter where is the net is set for purposes of data collection. I've learned about net licenses and priorities to locations, how they transfer, and how they can be revoked. In my estimation, licenses, whether for Mr. George or for me, are a privilege. They're not a right. So I'll bring my remarks to a close by just summarizing what seems most important to me. My complaint was based on Mr. George's continual disregard for the conditions placed on him for his 2005 license. He just didn't seem willing or able to get it quite right. I feel strongly that he should not be rewarded for those violations by renewal of his license for 2006 in its current location, because the location is the reason for the four specific conditions he continually violated. Those conditions speak to the need to integrate the recreational and residential uses that were long established at Windmill Point Resort with a commercial operation that was set right down smack dab in the middle of it. And unfortunately, the compromise solution didn't solve it. Please, please, do not allow this net to continue in this location. Please do not make us all, Mr. George included, go through another season of conflict. I respectfully ask the Commission to either deny Mr. George's license for 2006 at the current Windmill Point location, or to allow him to transfer his license to a location such as he has already selected, far enough away from residential areas, so that the difficulties we all have endured through these past 2 years will not be repeated elsewhere.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission? All right. Mr. George. Raise your right hand, please. Do you swear the testimony shall give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Thank you. I know.
Thank you for the name.
Ernest L. George. When I first started fishing this year, my net was probably wrong. I made a bad, measurement by myself. It wasn't right, and I did fix it. But and I cut the net down. It wasn't even in a net there. Plus, at the last stake in the leader, after I got involved in it, I went back and measured it, and I had left 72 feet from the beach open. So really, I've done a lot to try to keep this net. But it's so much problem, and y'all have wasted so much time. I'm willing to just move and get rid of it. But I'd like to have 1 year extension on my license for moving.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones was speaking. Mr. George submitted a letter to me indicating his willingness to relocate his pound net to another site. This initiates the public review process of the new site. It takes 30 days. If there are no negative comments, then he's allowed to locate his net in the new site. Now, because he has other businesses to deal with, there's a likelihood that he will not be able to set that net with a complete system of nets, of poles and netting this year. Normally, under our regulation, if you don't set your net in 1 year, you lose your priority right to that location. And what Mr. George is asking for is that he be given 2 years to set the net and establish his priority right at the new location. I think that's entirely fair and solves this situation. It's over and done with if you will grant him that allowance.
All right. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Robbins.
Just to understand, that would allow him to keep the net in its current location for this fishing year, right?
I mean, 30 days to get the poles up.
30 days from now, you'd be taking the poles up?
I got 13 left. If y'all will give me 30 days.
Okay, so you're not asking for allowing to use this net for the 2006 season?
I'm asking to get away from Windmill Point.
Okay.
It's It's been a problem. I need to get away from it.
So then all you need is the conditions Jack just laid out.
But I'm a little bit confused. In other words, you won't be using this location in 2006?
No, sir. I want to transfer that license to this new location, but this new location, I might not be able to get it out this year. So I want to keep my license for next year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But doesn't the new location have to go to public hearing, Jack?
It has to be advertised on our website. And Mr. George has to advertise it one day in the newspaper. And then there's a 30-day public comment period. If there are no public comments, then it's done.
All right. Now, Mr. George, what if there are public comments? If somebody...
I just have to find another place.
But you just want to get away from Windmill.
I just want to get Windmill. Well, I didn't miss numbers of days from work.
Where is the new place, Jack? Is it shallow or deep?
You want to describe where it is?
Deep. It's just northeast of Windmill Point. I mean, Mosquito Point Bay, a bit off the island, the back of the island.
1,300 feet from land, so not in the immediate vicinity of any residents.
I don't think anybody complains. Not only that, just a complaint doesn't deny it. I mean, we can still approve it.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I understand, but I have another point.
Mr. Gass.
Last time we started this issue, we all sided with the waterman because before land was developed, he was there first. We talked about this. We talked about development of the Eastern Shore. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? And I don't want to set a precedent for as long as I'm on this commission of letting somebody be run away. I don't think it's fair. I think it's fair that the man was there first, and we talked about so many times we have positions we take because of views. I own a piece of land. I look straight out. It doesn't give me any right to look up the river or down the river. I can look straight out my front door. And I think the people that want to look up the river or down the river are being too possessive. And I think we have to understand who was there first. And I hope this is not setting a precedent or you. I know you've had a lot of hassle and so forth and so on.
Just continue.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You've heard that, Mr. Bellman?
One more thing.
Dr. Jones.
Can I have the Colonel? I just wonder, confirmation. I'm reading the Officer Crandall's report. And Officer Crandall's report says that initially it was out of compliance, but upon their inspection, that Mr. George immediately complied, and that this details issues like the officers were not standing over him making sure that he complied fully, and after that, when they went back and checked, that he was always in compliance.
That is correct.
That is correct.
That is the officer's statement. Dr. Jones, one thing that I'd like to call to your attention, I think it's on page 3 or 4 of the pictures. We saw this morning at a Habitat presentation the difference between tidal ebb and flow.
Yeah.
You notice that on the top picture, it says, sure, that the ends are not in compliance, but the ends, although they may not be in compliance, the passage may be lower. This has been a fractious case and a contentious case. We've tried our best to respond, as Ms. Jones indicated, Mr. Travelstead did. We've sent officers out. Mr. George, when I called him up, when he received the registered letter, he called up very apologetically, it's a typical case of a user conflict, and as hard as we tried to come to some type of conclusion in the rain, it just never worked out.
I just wanted to confirm that in fact
that's my
Mr. State. George was quite compliant here consistently.
Mr. Chick,
as far as the action we need to take, should we go ahead and allow him to have it at this spot and then it's up to him to choose to move, or do we not vote anything on this, or what do we do here?
We give him 2 years.
Yeah, he's asking for. What he's mainly asking for is if he doesn't use it this year, that he doesn't lose it and go through the process that he has a 2-year based on the circumstances.
Right. What he's saying is he has come before you under oath and indicated he's going to remove everything within 13 days.
Exactly.
And we'll have to undergo the peer review process, as you indicated, that is simply a process. It's no approval or not. What you have to approve is an exemption to the existing law that requires him to set net on that new location so that he does not lose the priority interest, and I would suggest that you do so.
All right. It's a motion to that effect.
I so move.
A motion made by Mr. Holland, seconded by Mr. Garrison. Further discussion to the motion.
We did this in the storm, did we not?
We have done this before.
We have done it before. When the people got the nets knocked out and couldn't get back, we've extended in the storm.
I would just like to say that if it was not for Mr. George making this offer, that I would give him his stand back.
Amen.
And I would
too.
I would too.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Thanks, sir.
Any abstention? Carried. Mr. George? Okay, that's
13 polls. I need 60 days.
That's
my error, then.
All right.
Mr. Commissioner, I hope we're not setting like precedent for this action.
Somebody who's had precedence being
all right, you've got two artificial reef requests, Jim. Jack, who's handling that? Mike.
That's why I have to confirm
you. Item 20 in your book.
Good afternoon, Mr. Pruitt, commissioners. Requesting permission to construct two artificial fishing reefs, Cosin Reef, to be located near the mouth of the Cosin River, and Mob Jack Bay, to be located on the western side of the channel, just past the entrance to Mob Jack Bay. The agency artificial reef program has been advised by the Army Corps of Engineers that applications for two new artificial fishing reefs are in the process of being approved. We should have the Corps of Engineers permit shortly.